Well, it is a joy to be with you here in Brookside this morning. Thank you for the opportunity of being able to come along and share about the work of ACRI. And can I just say at the very beginning, thank you so much to you folk in Brookside who pray for the work of the mission and who support the work of the mission. I know the church quite often send gifts to the office, and we really do appreciate that. And I want to say thank you on behalf of all the mission family right across the world, to say thank you to you this morning for your faithfulness and for your help to us. It's nice to look over the congregation and see lots of people that I know as well. So it's nice to see friendly faces. And, well, thank you for the opportunity of coming to share a little bit today. It's often whenever you get old, you have to take the glasses off to read now and put them on to see. But we're going to read together, if you have a Bible with you, from John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and beginning to read at verse 19 of the chapter. John 1. And verse 19, down to verse 37, please. John 1 and verse 19. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Betharaba beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God." Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And we know that God will bless just as we end there at verse 37 of our reading this morning. And we'll share in a wee moment or two just a few thoughts from God's word today as well. But just to talk about the work of the mission just for a few moments, as we look back over 78 years nearly of the work of ACRI, we give thanks to God for his faithfulness, for all that God has done over the years. And somebody said, "I haven't kissed the Blarney Stone, I swallowed it twice." So I can talk, and I could keep you here all day talking about what the Lord has done in the past through the work of the mission. You know, that verse that's on the screen is a verse that we still hold on to today. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher?" Romans chapter 10. And you know, again, we thank God as we look back over 78 years of the work, that God has been faithful right from the McCombs at the very beginning of the work, as God saved them and called them to go out to Brazil and to reach the lost for Christ. And how many others followed down through the years, many that have stood in this church and shared about the work of their mission and the work of the mission field that they were working in over years and years and years. Many that have gone home to be with the Lord. But we look back and their legacy still stands today of what God has done. As the seed of the word of God has been sown over those years, we give thanks to God for what he has done. Certainly in the land of Brazil. And many of these missionaries, of course, here that are on the screen were those who worked in Brazil down the years. And in the land of Brazil, one of the prayers that the McCombs had all those years ago was that God would raise up national people to serve him. And of course today we have many nationals serving the Lord there in the land of Brazil. But of course the mission's not just in Brazil, but also in the Canary Islands and in Portugal, and of course here in Northern Ireland. So fasten your seatbelts, for this day, 3 weeks ago, I was in the middle of the air because I was on my way to Lanzarote to see our missionaries. I hadn't been out for about 6 years to see the missionaries. Our missionaries have changed now. We had a couple called Jim and Sandra Thompson who worked in Lanzarote, and they came out of the work about a year and a half ago and came back home to secular work here in Northern Ireland. But there's a new couple who are there in Lanzarote, and we wanted to go out and encourage them. I'd met them a couple of times before and be able to share with them and just see what was going on in the work there in the island of Lanzarote. Of course, as many people think of Lanzarote, what do they think of? Holidays. Lying in the sun for a couple of weeks and enjoying that. And of course, Lanzarote is usually a destination that is warm all year round. Although the week that we spent in Lanzarote, we saw the sun for 20 minutes that whole week. And all I had was a pullover with me. I had no coat with me. And I tell you, I wish I had a fur coat with me. It was so cold that week. It was nearly like being at home just over a week ago when we were there. And we know other folk, friends of ours, who were also on the island at the same time. And they couldn't believe just how cold it was. And many of the folk in the shops and so on, the restaurants that we talked to, they also said the same. It's terrible. You must have brought this weather with you from Northern Ireland. And probably we did. But of course, it's an island, as I say, you think of a holiday destination. And many folk, and I'm sure, how many folk here have been to Lanzarote for their holidays? There's a few hands have gone up. And of course, that's what we think of whenever we think of there. The beauty of Lanzarote, the barrenness of it too, I think the volcanoes and all the rocks that are around the place, the beauty of the beaches, and of course you often meet camels there as well. They're always the ones that have the hump, aren't they? But we always meet them too. And of course, as I said, the volcanoes and part of the island that is just rock all over the place because of that. Lanzarote has over 3 million holiday makers that come to that little island every year. 3 million holiday makers. So of course it's all geared up for tourism. And they have 141,000 of a population, which I was quite surprised at, that there were so many living on the island. Over 10,000 of those are expats from the UK who have got businesses there, cafes, pubs and so on. Many that have retired to the island that have gone there because of the weather that's all year. There's over 100 different nationalities from different countries in the world that have come to live there, and making up over 40,000 non-Canarian people that live on the island of Lanzarote. So there's lots of people from lots of different cultures that are there, of course, as well. It's an island with great, great spiritual need. And as I said, we had the privilege of going over and meeting our missionaries, Ricardo and Sandra, and we thank God for them. They're originally from Colombia. And 25 years ago, they moved to the island of Lanzarote to live there and to work there. Sandra was a teacher. Ricardo, again, just did many different jobs on the island whenever he was there. Because of building work and so on, there were many jobs available. And then, I suppose, a number of years ago, the Lord really worked in their hearts and lives when they came to know Christ as their Savior. Sandra was from a Roman Catholic background. Ricardo was from a very nominal background in Colombia. But God began to work in their hearts and they came to know the Lord as their Savior and began to get involved in the work in the church there where Jim and Sandra Thompson were working. Now, in this photograph, you see that there's snow. There's never snow in the Canary Islands. That was at Christmas time and they sent some photographs through to me, and that was in one of the shopping centres with a wee bit of fake snow. So don't be looking for snow if you ever go to the Canary Islands or to Lanzarote. But they came to Lanzarote to work, and again, as I said, God began to work in their lives, and God began to speak to Ricardo regarding ministry in the church. And a year and a half ago, they took over the church work there from Jim and Sandra Thompson, and they have great vision and great burden and concern to reach out to their island. They also work part-time, which we're a wee bit concerned about. We would like to get a wee bit more support for them financially that we'll be able to keep them there without them having to work. Sandra was a teacher, as I said. She lost her job just over a year ago because they wanted her to sign illegal forms for forgery in the private school she worked in. And she said, as a believer, I will not sign those forms. And because of that, she lost her job. And now she's got a job an hour's drive away from Arasifi, where they live, working in an hotel, cleaning the hotel. And on her way home from work, she works from 8 in the morning through to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So she has to leave at 7 in the morning to get there. It's an hour's drive. And then doesn't get back to after 5 o'clock at night. And then she has to go out and work in all the different things in the church as well, and involved in all the ministry there. And on her way home just before Christmas time, she fell asleep at the wheel, and she had a head-on collision with another car. She said, "The Lord was very good to me." We don't often say that if we have a car accident, do we? She said, "The Lord was very good to me because I don't even have a scratch." But her car's laid up. The insurance won't pay for it because she fell asleep. And it's a wee bit more difficult for them. So please pray for them that the Lord will just help them and give them that strength that they need at this time. But as I said, a couple with great vision for the work there. And in the year and a half that they've been taking over the work, they have opened up many doors of opportunity in the island to reach out to people. This is a little church. It's a wee bit different than the church here. It's a wee long, narrow church. And as you can see, there's not a huge congregation of people there. Many older folk in the church. Many folk that have no jobs in the church because of the crash, the building work has ceased. And as you drive through Lanzarote, you'll see many places where the apartments have been started and the work has all stopped. So many lost their jobs. They can't afford to leave the island, to go to other islands and so on. And so it's a small church, but yet doing a tremendous work for the Lord there. Back in December, they had a ladies' retreat. It was the first one they've ever had. And ladies from the other Canary Islands came over to spend a weekend with them on the island. And that was a great blessing because, you know, we're so used to having fellowship here in Northern Ireland. They have little fellowship there. There are only few believers on the island of Lanzarote. And so it's difficult. And yet, for the ladies to get together like this was a great, great blessing for them. And Ricardo's sister, who also comes along to the church, she runs the ladies' work, and she's been asked now to go to the other islands to share there and to speak at other ladies' retreats. So that's opening up doors of opportunity for them on other islands as well. We had opportunity of going to the old people's homes. Now, whenever you go to an old people's home here in Northern Ireland, what's the first thing hits you? The heat, isn't that right? You go in and you're sweltered. You have to get the coat off and all the rest of it. Whenever we went to the old people's home just over a week ago there in Lanzarote, the first thing that hit us was people sitting with their coats on and their scarves on and their gloves on and their hats on. That's not really what Northern Ireland looks like whenever you go to an old folks' home, as I said. It was very different. And yet there are opportunities, because it was so cold that week, the poor folk, they have no heating, of course, there. In their houses, they have, some of them have fires, some of them have just electric heaters, but there was no heating in the home, and the poor folk were foundered because it was so cold. But they have opportunity, Ricardo and Sandra and a team from the church, of getting in there to the home and being able to share the gospel twice every month. And it was lovely for us to go in with them and some of the folk to come and to give them a huge hug. And of course, if you don't like getting hugs and kisses, then never go to Lanzarote, for they kiss all over you and they hug all over you. And some of our team that I had with me, they don't like getting hugs and kisses, but they had to put up with it for a whole week. And of course, the folk were so delighted to see Ricardo and Sandra coming in. And at that little time of getting the folk together and being able to share the word of God with them. Pray that God will bless this ministry. People in latter years. People that have never heard the gospel before. It's hard for us to understand, isn't it? Going to a church that preaches the gospel faithfully. And us hearing the gospel, having tracts put into our hands. And people that don't know they need to be saved. That God will open hearts and open minds and open understanding that folk will come to know the Savior. They have a team, of course, as I said, they go out with them sometimes to the home. And this is a team of the folk from the church. They had hats on and scarves on. It wasn't because it was cold. It was because it was just before Christmas time. And they were trying to get a wee bit of a Christmas mood into it, or a Christmas mood. And again, as I said, they had opportunity of going in. And quite a lot of the folk from the church will go out with Ricardo and Sandra to these events and help sing and do poems and so on. And they'll be able to bring the gospel to the people. A new opening that has come just recently is into the hospital in Arasifi, the main hospital on the island. And Ricardo felt very led to go along and find out if he could become the evangelical chaplain of the hospital. If you see this little church, this is the little chapel or the little church that's in the hospital, and they have statues of Mary in it, and they have pictures of this, that, and the other, and they have a crucifix behind the screen that you can't see there, and the priest really tried his utmost to stop them coming in to have evangelical services on a Friday afternoon. There's a little office in behind this, and he also tried to stop them using the office. But the powers that be saw through it and said, no, if you're allowed in, why should they not be allowed in as well? And good opportunity of getting in every Friday afternoon at 6 o'clock. They have a service there, not just for patients, but also for hospital workers as well. We had about 15 in that day that you can see on the screen. Some people that don't know Christ. Some that are sick, and they come because they're asking for prayer. And we're praying that through this ministry every Friday afternoon that God will work in lives, in hearts, and that Ricardo and Sandra will see many coming to know Christ as their personal Savior. So please remember that work. And if you remember on a Friday at 6 o'clock, please pray for it, that God will bless them. I have never been to prison before. Maybe some of you have. Well, not ask for hands up. But I've never been to prison before, and I didn't know what to expect. And on Saturday that we were there, Ricardo asked us to go along to the prison. Again, God has opened this wonderful door of opportunity. Twice a month, for them to get into the prison and be able to share the gospel, have Bible studies with prisoners that want to come along. Well, they're so bored that some of them will come anyway just to find out what's going on and to get out of their cells. So that day, just two of our team members, myself and another fella, and Ricardo and Sandra and another lady, we headed off to the prison. And I tell you, it scared us. We didn't know what to expect. I know you walk in the door, and then the door behind you closes, and then the next one opens, and you walk in there, and then it closes, and the next one opens. And after about five or six different stages, we eventually got to the room that we were having the service in. We were amazed that over 50 prisoners came into that particular service. It was funny because it was some of the lady prisoners allowed to come, and there were no warders that were in either, and they were passing love notes to each other. But seemingly some of them are going out together. I don't think that happens in McGabbery, mind you. But anyway, it happened there. And they're in their designer clothes. We expect them to be in the overalls with the arrows and all on them. But they're in their designer clothes. And they were lovely, some of them. We were told that they weren't really bad prisoners. I said, well, they must have done something or they wouldn't be here. But they sat and they listened intently to us as we shared the gospel. One of them came up and said, my name's John. Will you pray for me? I'm a believer. Now, I've come to trust Christ here in prison. Pray for my family at home. I said, how long have you been here? I didn't ask him what he had done, mind you, but I said, how long have you been here? He said, I've been here nearly 2 years. I'm hoping to get out soon. And so we had opportunity of talking one-to-one with many of those prisoners and be able to give them literature and share the gospel. As I said, pray for Ricardo and Sandra as they get in twice every month and are able to share the gospel. That's them and another lady just standing. We couldn't take any photographs inside, but we could take them outside and pray for that ministry. Also, door-to-door evangelism, of course, is very important. And they go around the doors faithfully around the church in Arrecife. Arrecife, of course, is the main town there in Lanzarote. And they have opportunity of going out around the doors, around the church, and putting in literature. Some of the other towns, like the coastal towns of Costa de Gise, maybe where you've gone for holidays, or Playa Blanca or Puerto del Carmen, you're not allowed to put literature in the doors or in those particular places because of all the different stuff that goes out. And they had opportunity of going around the doors, and we went out with them. That's one of the team there with some of the folk from the church, putting the literature through the doors. Pray for that. Pray for God's word as it gets into the hands of people. Pray for the invitation that's there with that literature, that folk will come in under the sound of God's word, and that folk will come to know the Savior too, and we rejoice in that. This little lady, we don't know her name, but in one of the streets that we were in, we met her, and she was quite shy, and we were able to give her literature as well. Just one of the people that, again, have maybe never heard the gospel before. And we pray that as they read God's word, that God again will stir their hearts, and that they will come to know the Savior. We had opportunity also of going out that week into Arrecife itself and taking the guitar with us. That's Ricardo's son playing the guitar and his daughter standing with the long dark hair. And we were able to go out into the town and just stop at different places along the busy streets that were folk out shopping in and just stop and sing. And again, give out the literature And again, we pray that God will bless this particular ministry. They've opened a whole new marina there just down in Arrecife as well, with opportunity of going down there. There was one of the huge, big ships in, cruise liners in, a cruise liner with over 3,000 bedrooms in it. And so there were many, many people. There were German, and we had no German literature, sadly, but some could speak English, and we had opportunity of sharing the gospel with them as well. On Tuesday nights, they go out into the open air, again because of the good weather normally through the year, and they go out and they're able to share with the kids in the children's clubs. They don't have the children come to church, but they go out to reach the children in the different plazas, as they call them, open air areas in housing developments. And this is the one we were in that day, and I want you to pray, because maybe someone here has got some children's material that you don't need anymore, flashcard books and things like that. Because whenever we were there, we realized that Ricardo and Sandra and the folk of the church had no children's material, really. And what they do is they download a page of the internet and they sit and colour it in. And they use that to tell the Bible lessons. That night, I don't know whether you can see in the picture or not, they had a child's puppet theatre. And they had these two puppets with no eyes. And they were desperate looking things. And that's what they were using to try and tell the Bible story of Samuel and Hannah. And I thought, I'm going to really pray whenever I go home and ask folk, because folk have stuff lying about their houses that they don't need and don't use, and ask if folk have it, if they could give it to us or to give to the folk out there in Lanzarote. So we're looking at bits and pieces for that and for their children's ministry. We go back in the summertime with a team, and if you're able to come with us, we would love you to join us for a team in the summer. And help us. There was lots of practical work that week as well. Ricardo, he works night duty some nights, and so he was in bed, or he wanted to paint with us, and we wouldn't allow him to. We made him go to bed, and we got stuck into the painting around the church. About 6 years ago, we sent a team out to paint the whole of the church building, and all these rails and stuff needed painted again, so that was us doing our wee bit, not only outside the church, but also inside the church as well, trying to get a wee bit of work done during the days. And it's just as well the sun wasn't out, because if it had been out, we would have been sitting in the sun, not doing any work. But this last picture just shows Ricardo and Sandra. There's a new statue just down, you can see it here, down by the new marina, and it's hands that are up, praying hands. And I said, stand under that statue till I get your picture, because I'm going to say to folk, please, please pray for Ricardo and Sandra and their family as they serve the Lord there in Arrecife. Little Daniel is 15, their son. Their daughter, Andrea, is 12. They have an older son who's 23. He's called Julian. He's across in Tenerife at university. He's not walking with the Lord. And pray that the Lord will just continue to touch his life. Pray for the young people in the church. That little group at the top of the picture there. That's the young folk of the church. Great, great young people. We had great opportunities to spend time with them as well. And again, the bottom picture was just a picture of us all the Sunday we left, just over 2 weeks ago, whenever we left the church. And that was the folk who were there that Sunday morning at the service. Pray that God will bless and continue to bless. You know, it's a very, very needy mission field, the mission field of Lanzarote. One of our great burdens is that God would call someone to do an English-speaking ministry there. Many friends of ours go to Lanzarote and say they can't find the English-speaking church, although there is one seemingly. They have gone along and it's been closed. And we have, of course, the international work in the evangelical church there in Portugal in the Algarve. We would love to see something like that develop in Lanzarote as well. And for God to call someone to go out to reach the expats for Christ, to reach the holidaymakers for Christ, to go to the airport, they used to do it years ago, go to the airport and hand out flyers for the church and to get folk in under the sound of the word of God. The last time we went to Lanzarote 6 years ago, we sat on the airplane and there was a crowd behind us, and there was a crowd in front of us and a crowd beside us, and we listened the whole way to Lanzarote of them talking about what they were going to do when they were there. They were not going to go to church, I can tell you that. They were looking for something to fill the emptiness in their lives, but they were looking in the wrong direction. And on the way home, we all sat in the same seats, and we heard about all their exploits that were there during the time they were there. They certainly weren't churchgoers. And it made me very sad on the way home that day, because I thought, who tried to reach them for Christ when they were there on holidays? no one. And that's why we're praying that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. As I ask you to pray for Ricardo and Sandra, we ask you to pray for the rest of the work. Maybe you're available to come on a team. We have teams that go out to Fatima in Portugal. We've talked about that at your ladies' meeting here in midweeks here in the church. And we go out there twice a year, May and October, to reach tens of thousands of people there at the Shrine of Fatima in Portugal. We have a team going out now in May, the 9th to the 16th of May, to Portugal. There's still room available on that team. We have the Lanzarote team going out the 2nd to the 12th of August. If you could come and join us then. If you can speak Spanish, that would be great. We have some young folk that are doing Spanish in school that are going to come with us to help as well whenever we're there. And we have also a team going to Portugal, God willing, in October. And if you could join us even in that team, we'd love to have you to spend that time with us and to share the gospel with individuals. Of course, Brazil is a big part of the work, and I'm not going to talk about that. We had a team in the summer in Brazil. We'll be taking a team, God willing, next year out to Brazil again. Please pray for that. Tom and Lucia Margetis, who are well known, pray for them as they continue the work there in Rio Branco in the Acre State. All of our national pastors there. Pray for Dr. Bill Woods. Bill is not very well at the minute. Bill has been unwell for the last few years. But just in November time, he took a clot in his leg and was off his feet for quite a number of weeks and months. He's still not very well. The clot is gone. His leg is still swollen. He also has cancer of the bone, which is myeloma. And because of the medication he's taken for his cancer, it's causing the clots. They've just realized this. Pray for him. He's handing over the leprosy program just now. Pray that God will sustain him over these days, that he'll know strength, that he will know God's help. He is wanting to come back to Northern Ireland to come home for a little while, but he's been so ill he's not able to travel. Pray the Lord will just touch him at this time and give him the strength that he needs. Pray for this couple, Tim and Lindsay Johnson. Tim and Lindsay are leaving Northern Ireland on Tuesday week to leave home and family and friends and head off to Brazil to start their language study with us. They trained in New Tribes for 2 years. In New Tribes Bible College. They'd always wanted to come into the work of Acre. They talked to us about 6 or 7 years ago about that, and now the time has come. And I was with them at a meeting on Friday night, and we were having coffee afterwards, and they are absolutely petrified of the unknown. I have been out where they're going. They're going to live and work with two Christian schools out in Manaus, and they're going to be doing language study there. A friend of ours will be their language teacher. They'll be involved in, many of you remember Fred Orr, and will be involved in Fred Orr's church, the Hebron Church, where Fred pastored before he went home to be with the Lord. And they'll be involved in the church there and with the people there in the church. So it's a whole new adventure for them. And the Christian life is an adventure, for we don't know what's around the corner, do we? And it's just holding on to God and trusting him, because he's the one who goes before us. And he's the one who goes with us. And we covet your prayers for Tim and Lindsay as they leave their family. And they're rushed off their feet. They're trying to do so much in the last few months before they go. The Lord granted their visas through very quickly. And as I say, they head off on Tuesday week. Their valedictory service is tonight down at Abbots Cross Congregational in Belfast. So we're involved in that this evening as well. Of course, Victor and Audrey Maxwell are no strangers, I'm sure, to folk here as they serve the Lord with us in the work. And the Lord blesses them. And again, there's so many things I could tell you about the work. And that's Karen, my wife, and our boys and ourselves, of course, as we continue at the home end here. And as we run the roads, as I'm often referred to, the person who runs the roads. We're never off the road. We have meetings most nights, travelling across the province. And we thank God for these openings and opportunities. These are just some of the national pastors and workers in Brazil that I'm not talking about, because we'd be here all day and you wouldn't get your dinner. That verse, or that picture at the end, is a picture in Manaus. It just shows the new bridge across the river in the background. And reminds us of that verse that says, night comes when no man can work. Opportunities are getting fewer. And if we're saved this morning, God has called all of us. He's called all of us to reach out to others with the gospel. Whether it's in Manaus, whether it's in Lanzarote, whether it's in Portugal, or whether it's here in Ahoko. God has called us all to be witnesses for him and to reach out. We've read this morning about John the Baptist, just very quickly. John the Baptist, who was the one who was the forerunner of the Lord. the one who came to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who had a service of only 6 months, yet it was an effective service for God. He was a character who was unique, wasn't he? He was different. He stood out from the crowd. He was clothed in camel skin. He ate locusts and wild honey. He was different than people around him. And God calls us to be different, doesn't he? God tells us in his word that we're a peculiar people. Some are certainly more peculiar than others, but we're a peculiar people. And we're those who God has called or perceived to reach out, as I've said. God has used many down through the years. And God wants to use each one of us. He wants us to get involved, doesn't he, in the Lord's work. He wants us to give to the Lord's work. He maybe wants us to go and serve him full time, like we've heard from our young brother this morning as he serves the Lord with Coaching for Christ. Just let me give you these points about John the Baptist. We see that John the Baptist obeyed a divine commission, didn't he? He talks in verse 33 about him that sent me. He had to do a specific work. He had to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, God expects us all, if we're saved, to be those who obey that divine commission in going into all the world, starting here at home and reaching out with his word. John the Baptist described a specific task, didn't he? What was he sent for? What did he come to do? In verse 23, he says, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. God called him to be that voice. And if we're saved this morning, God wants us to be that voice, whether it's signing those forms of petition, standing with those who are going through difficult times. God calls us to be that voice. That's what's wrong in our society today. We're afraid to be the voice. And God wants us to be that voice. You know, I'm sure like me, you listen to Stephen Nolan some mornings, do you, on the radio? And you feel like getting the radio and throwing it across the floor because you get so cross. Because if a believer comes on to view their Christian point of view, they're cut off. But God wants us to take our stand. And may he help us to do that. We read in verse 19 to 22 about the deputation of the priests and the Levites. They came down to hear John the Baptist preach, this rare, unique character. They came to hear what he had to say. And he was telling them to repent, for the kingdom of God was at hand. And as I listened to him preaching, I believe that Nicodemus was one of those religious men who came to listen to John the Baptist. And of course, as we read over in John 3, we see that Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus by night. Some folk asked, why did he come by night? Some say that he came because he was afraid of anyone seeing him. So he came in the darkness of the night to meet the Lord Jesus and to speak with him because he had so many questions in his mind. But I heard it say recently, and never thought of this before, that a little girl in Sunday school, whenever she was asked why Jesus came by night, why Nicodemus came by night to meet the Lord Jesus, she said, because he couldn't wait till the morning. I thought that was great. He came with all his questions and Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, except you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of God. And of course we know the story so well, don't we? He said, how can I, an old man, be born again? It's impossible. And Jesus explained to him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. At physical birth, there's a mother and father. At spiritual birth, it's the Word of God and the Spirit of God showing us what we're really like. We don't like to see that, do we? You know, whenever you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, oh, you let a roar out of you, don't you? Maybe you've got the teeth out and the rollers in. Hope the men don't, but anyway. It scares you. But the mirror doesn't tell us lies. I still think I'm a 30 waist. That was a long time ago. And the Word of God reminds us that we're sinners. We've heard that this morning, haven't we? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter how good we are, how moral we are, how upright we are, how much we attend our church. The Bible says we're all under sin. There is none righteous, not even one. And Nicodemus had to be shown that even though he was a religious man, moral, upright, knew the Old Testament scriptures, that he needed to be saved. He needed to be born again. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved and you're a good person. Maybe you're one of the best people that live here in Ohio. And you're moral and you're upright and you're religious. But that's not enough. We've heard it already today. You need to come to that place like Nicodemus, where you realize that you're a sinner, where you repent of your sin, where you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Because he is the only way. Wouldn't it be sad to think that your minister would have a funeral in the week ahead of him in this church of someone who sat here this morning and they're not saved? And they walk out the door and before this week is out, they're in eternity. But they're lost. Wouldn't that be sad? That's the message that we take to the people of the world. That the Lord Jesus Christ is a living Savior, not a dead Savior. But he's one who's alive and alive forevermore. One who is seated at the right hand of the Father. One who's making intercession for us. And one who's coming again. And coming soon. And that's why we need to be ready. Prepared. Be sure that heaven is our home. He described a specific task. He introduced a wonderful person. Folks, we can't introduce anyone more wonderful to the world, to the people around us. Our missionaries can't introduce anyone more wonderful than the Lord Jesus Christ. As John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He proclaimed a glorious message, and that message is still the same today. That Christ receiveth sinful men. He secured a rich harvest. Because we see Andrew and John came, and Andrew found Peter, and John found James, and so the work continues right on until today. I trust that as we've looked at the pictures today of only one mission field in the world, as we think of people who have never heard the gospel before, ever heard the gospel before, that God will help us not to take the things of God for granted. Not to take the fellowship that we have for granted. Not to take his word for granted. Not to take his salvation for granted today. But one day as we stand before God, all of us as individuals, that we'll hear him say, "Well done." That we won't look back over years that are wasted, but years that are fruitful in service for him. We can't all go to Lanzarote. We can't all go to Brazil. We can't all go to Portugal. We can't all go to the other parts of the world. But we can go on our knees. And God has given us that responsibility. Of being able to get behind the missionaries. To pray for them and to support them. To hold them up before the Lord. God has called us all to go to the one next door. I love the words of the hymn that's found in the Songs of Victory. And I often quote it in meetings. "Give me a vision, Lord, I plead. Vision of souls in a world in need, loved ones and friends, the one next door. Then let me see there are millions more. Give me a vision, heart-stirring vision. Open my eyes, Lord, today. Show me the sighing, the doomed, the dying. Give me a vision, I pray." Maybe today someone in this church building will say, "Lord, here am I. Send me." May God help us to do that, and may God bless all that's said. We do have some literature, as has been said, to have a look. There's the magazine out there, the latest prayer letter is there, and then our little prayer calendar we got done. Actually, our printer did it and did it for 2014 again, so we had to get it redone, so they're just out. And please do take one of those, and the names of our workers and so on for each day is inside that.